There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
To Infinity War and beyond.
Welcome back to the Infinity Warm Up. As you can tell, I am not Steve. Yep, this is kind of weird. I have 100% less bald spot and am 100 years younger.
Hey!
Let's get to the real podcast now. So this is chapter 15, or Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And I am Daniel. I am normally on the kind of answering questions side, but today I will be asking the questions.
Oh, no.
And I am here with Steve, Mackenzie, Jacob, and Megan.
Hi.
So, hi.
Hello.
This is what happens when the inmates run the asylum.
Okay.
Chaos!
Anyways. So, yes, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So, in this movie, you know, we have Peter or Star-Lord, whoever, you know, whatever you want to call him. He is with the rest of the crew, the Guardians of the Galaxy. By now, they have been hired to kind of protect this, if you're Drax, Harbulary Battery from this space octopus fun monster. And after they killed it and they were able to protect the battery or batteries, Rocket decided to steal some. And these great gold statue people decided to attack. And during this attack, we find out that some man helped the Guardians by killing all of them. And we later find out that this is Peter's dad, which is great.
Bully for him.
Great.
So, you know, we kind of get to learn more about Peter and his kind of background, but also learn about, you know, Peter's father who has just now stepped into his life. They talk a lot. While everybody else is kind of sitting at the sidelines being suspicious.
Particularly Gamora.
Very particularly Gamora. There's a big fight at the end, just like every other superhero movie, and all is like well in the end. So what did you guys think about this movie?
I enjoyed it. I was a bit confused. I was confused with the first one as well. The entire space thing, I don't really understand. The space talk, I don't really understand.
Yeah.
What do you mean the space talk?
Like some of the conversations they have, like some of the let's fix the heart, blah blah blah. It's like I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
So I get a bit confused with that. But the overall storyline was good. I felt the humor was really good. The humor in this one's good English.
Mm-hmm.
And these ones are very very good. I mean, I like all the characters. I have a particular soft spot for Groot because,
as we all,
he's an adorable stick person. And yeah,
he's an adorable stick person.
The villain was actually interesting this time. I thought he was really twisted.
Mm.
Yeah, I liked that. I mean, it was. I found that it was kind of weird that he like turned into like a skeleton man. Like, which was a bit odd, skeleton light man. But other than that, I mean, it was good. Enjoyed it.
I liked it. The humor was good. The characters were awesome. The action scenes were great. And yeah, my favorite character has to be the guy who laughs a lot.
Drax.
Drax, right? Yeah.
He's so stupid.
He's like Patrick Starr.
Who?
Drax.
Oh. No, who's Patrick Starr?
Who?
What?
You must play with me.
What?
You must.
Oh, Patrick Starr. Oh. He has a last. That's his last name.
Starr, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he had a last name. Patrick Starr. Okay. Well, I don't know. Anyway.
Who?
Well, all right.
Okie dokie.
So, yes, the movie was very good. It was nice, splendid. I felt like, once again, the action scenes were very good. And just the story in general was better than the first one because, as you know, I said the first one was trash. So
trash, no.
I think now they've improved. So, yeah.
I mean, it's better than Thor 2. So,
everything
I think we're good.
Is.
Everything's better than Thor 2. I liked it. Oh, sorry. This is one of my... This is in my upper echelon of these movies so far. I told you this... What?
Your upper who?
My upper echelon. It's like high end, man.
I don't...
Shalom.
No,
it's a grown-up word, people.
It's like Gucci.
Oh, I understand.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
Gucci.
This one is so Gucci for me.
Oh, God.
So echelon.
I really like... I like this... I like this phase. I like this phase of the MCU. Mm. This, and I like this one more than the first one because I felt like it gave me more to think about. But... You know, like I know a lot of people that didn't like it, and they thought that it was boring. And I don't see that. Like this one, when I thought the jokes work. Admittedly, it is true that I've heard people say that it's not as funny as they think it is. But,
or the characters think it is.
Or the characters think it is, but the truth is that's the whole point. That's why it's funny because
yeah,
it's
because
not that funny.
No, and Drax doesn't understand anything, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I really like the character journey on this one. And I think the set pieces work for the most part. There's a couple of parts that drag, but I think it works.
I definitely think this is probably one of the better Marvel movies, personally. It was, you know, it was just a fun movie.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of fun. It was, like, bright. Nebula was in it. It was great. So, one question I have for you guys is, of the Guardians, who is your favorite? And why?
Obviously.
Okay.
God, that's hard. Because I do like my Groot.
I like my Groot.
However.
What?
That sounded really Scottish. However, my Groot.
My Groot.
However.
I like my Groot.
Oh, God.
Help.
You were
the actor of Shrek.
Okay.
Okay.
However,
okay.
Drax is really funny because, like I said earlier, he doesn't understand sarcasm, he doesn't understand humor, he doesn't understand anything. And
he just knows a lot of sex
he
jokes.
Just,
oh
gosh.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the sex jokes were interesting coming from a big guy.
Muscular.
It was weird.
From a big man.
But I think overall, my favorite character is Groot.
Mm-mm.
Because he's tiny and cute and...
That's
disgusting. But he's...
My nether regions engorge.
Oh, no thank you. But,
sorry, this is my favorite
But he's
line.
Funny. He's funny, though.
Mm-hmm.
He does things with branches, and he's interesting. But yeah, overall, Groot is my favorite. Because he's... Yeah. He's cool, mm-hmm. and he's fun. I liked older Groot in the first movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Baby Groot's... I feel like a whole movie with Teen Groot would be funny. Just because...
He's going to be Teen Groot in the Avengers,
Infinity
War.
War. So
okay,
it's
good.
Because
I feel like
it's
Teen...
It's going to be hilarious.
I feel like Teen Groot would be really funny because he's like playing his video games, not paying attention to anybody. I think it would be fun.
Okay, so favorite Guardian and why?
Rocket.
And why?
I like Rocket because like... He always feels like he has something to prove, because all the time he doesn't want to be known as a rodent, he wants to be known as Rocket, or like a raccoon, like he doesn't want to be known as a raccoon, he wants to be, his title, he wants to be Rocket, like the greatest, like he just wants something to, like he feels like he always has something to prove, but he always does, just like something about him, like, that like, it's like if he were not on the Guardians, I don't feel like it would be, like, things to just like work. Like, would not work as well without him. I feel like, because they all play a key piece, but he brings, like, humor, he brings, like, he brings, like, an ego to the team. He brings, like, an underdog kind of thing to the team, because, like, in the beginning, like, way back, you see a raccoon in a tree. So, like, I feel like just him in general, it kind of brings, like, an understatement to the team, even though, like, he's so much more. So, like, yeah.
So, like, Iron Man, basically all the Guardians
whoa,
have, like...
Whoa.
Slow there,
no,
Nelly.
No, I mean, like, the Guardians have, like, Avengers in this sort of way. Like, Drax has, like, Thor in him because he doesn't know all the customs to...
No, I see what she's doing. I think that, yeah, I see what, yeah.
I'm following the honest trailer. Like, it never crossed my mind.
I can't talk about that. That's copyright.
Oh, whatever.
Get out of here.
Gamora is like Black Widow because she, I can't remember why. Peter is like, what's the other one? Captain America. No, he's not. Okay, you know what? Anyway, my favorite character is Drax, and also Rocket, right? Yeah, because he is very funny, and I like when the other characters make fun of his name, or like they mistaken his name for something.
Trash Panda.
Trash Panda.
That's awesome.
Oh,
is that better? No, it's way worse. I don't know who my favorite is because the two movies are so different. Like, I think that Drax is, like, MVP of this movie, man. I think Drax for Guardians 2, like, in a lot of ways, Drax gets a lot of the best story in this particular movie, I think. But I can't stand him in the first one. Like, he just doesn't work. You know, and Groot I like better in the second one than I like in the first one as well, just because of how they totally change his character. Like, it's amazing to me how they can take the same person and make them totally different. Yondu is better in this movie than he's in the first movie. Probably if I was looking at both of them, both movies, I'd say Rocket. And I'd say Rocket because I think his character is the most complex, and we've dug around a little bit with sort of his story.
Mm-hmm.
They do a little bit more of that in this one. He doesn't have a huge plot in the second film in particular, but I think it's his character journey is really important, and I'm interested in it still. And I think that he's funny. A lot of them are funny. But I think his character interests me the most of the group.
Ah. Of the Groot!
Freudian slip there.
Groot. What I was gonna say was this is leading to Infinity War, like what happened from like the comics is like Drax plays like a really, really important role. And if Infinity War followed the comics, then Drax plays like a really, really important role. Because he's the one that kills Thanos. Like, in the comic book, he's the one that kills Thanos.
Nebula does, actually.
Drax grabs Thanos. Like, Thanos is standing like this, boasting. Drax grabs him and pulls his heart out. It's Drax's own comics.
In the actual, Infinity War comics, Thanos kills everybody. like, all the Avengers, most of the Guardians. Nebula's one of the only ones that's left, and because she knows, you know, a lot of his own weaknesses, she's able to get the gauntlet from him, kill him, and bring everybody back to life.
Doesn't matter. They're not sticking to the comic books anyway.
Yeah,
they said they're barely done it
for a long time.
They don't really.
Well, they said that for Infinity War, they're gonna deviate a lot from the comics.
So yeah, Nebula and Drax potentially could mean nothing.
I do think it's gonna come down to Nebula though, because she says so in this
multiple times. Not even just this one.
Well, I know, but this one, when she leaves, she says that's her goal is to make him suffer into.
Yeah, like she did.
So I think it's going to come down to her, but
who knows? No one else is going to know because we're not the ones that made the movie.
At this point, it probably has to do with Iron Man. Like, I mean,
what's
that?
Not in this one. He won't die in this one.
You don't think so?
Because silver guys.
They'll wait till the next one to kill him. Everybody's worried about him dying, but the next one is next year, so I think they'll kill him then.
But then if they kill him, then what's it going to be like for the Spider-Man movies?
He won't be around. He'll be the next. They'll Uncle Ben him.
Is he gonna be the next Uncle Ben?
Yeah, he's gotta be.
If he's the next Uncle Ben, I'm gonna dislike it so much because all you're gonna hear is like, in the background when he shoot people with webs, you're not a man if you're nothing without the suit, blah blah. And then you remember after that when he's like, if you're no one without the suit, then you shouldn't have the suit.
So I really
hope if they kill Iron Man. I just hope they don't keep bringing that way back and turning into an Uncle Ben, just with Tony Stark.
Okay.
What doesn't make sense to me is that the green one?
Gamora.
When Nebula goes to leave to find her dad to kill him or whatever, she's just like okay with it. She doesn't say anything. Because like if she ever cared about him, he'd be like, hey, don't do this. Or whatever, unless I missed something from the...
What are you saying?
No, because she wants to kill...
Wow.
They're sisters, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have the same dad. Does she hate her dad?
They both do.
Oh, okay. That didn't make sense. I'm like, 49.
Just, I think Nebula hates her more.
You can definitely tell that Nebula has like a burning
Because for him, broke her and like replaced
detached.
He replaced parts of her body with like robot parts. So yeah, I would hate my dad if he did that to me.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah,
I'd hate my dad if he replaced my parts with robotic parts.
Oh, yeah, just to become my sister.
I'd like cyborg.
Nebula is actually my favorite character because I find that she just kind of shows a lot of.
No, really, I didn't notice.
Like, okay. Like, I don't know. She shows a lot of, you know, like determination and just kind of passion for what she's doing. Like, I mean, yes, she's gonna go murder somebody, but I mean, she shows a lot of passion, so it's all well and good. So throughout this movie, a lot of things that were kind of talked about and just kind of shown was like family, especially for Peter. Like the whole, you know, the main part of the story was, you know, finding his father after, what is it, 34 years?
In giant letters. 34 years later!
Yeah. So that's like family, I feel, is one of the kind of main, you know, themes of this movie. And one thing that is said by, I believe it's from, it's, well, it's said by Peter, and I'm pretty sure he says it to Gamora, is, he's my father, he's blood. And later on, Yondu says to Peter, he may have been your father, boy, but he ain't your daddy. So, what do you guys think is the difference between a daddy and a father?
What kind of question is that?
That's what I was given. Yeah, so what do you guys think is the difference between a daddy and a father? And do you guys think Yondu...
He uses that word.
And do you guys think, like, Yondu... Do you think Yondu's worthy of the title that, you know, he... gives himself?
The title of daddy?
I
think that...
You guys take things and make them so weird sometimes.
The difference between a daddy and a father is reverse than what they think. A daddy is someone who, like, creates them but doesn't actually take care of them.
That's a father.
Yeah.
That's usually what a father is considered.
Okay, never mind. I think that Yondu is a good choice because...
For what?
Actually, they're both pretty bad in some ways.
Oh.
But, Ego wanted to use his son to take his powers and control the universe, but Yondu wanted to use him to steal stuff, which, if you think about it, Ego's plan is for Peter is worse than that. And throughout the film, he grows to love Peter, but Ego only cares about him so that he can take his powers and all that. So yeah, I think Yondu would be a better father than Ego ever was.
Mm. Now, who do you think is a better daddy?
What? I don't even understand.
I can't answer
that question.
I think Yondu is a better has title of daddy.
Ooh.
And don't look at me like that. And I'm confused.
Whoa. Same.
Because Ego's more of a father because he's just kind of there. Like, yes, his mom and dad consummated to make him. And I definitely think that Ego would be considered a father because he is his biological father, but he hasn't done anything in his life. Whereas Yondu is more of a daddy because he's... I hate that word so much.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to use dad. Yondu is more of a dad because he actually took care of him. He actually raised him. Yes, he wanted to eat him.
He wanted to use him for stealing. And he threatened to eat him so that... He would be stronger or something.
Yeah, like
Wait, your parents didn't want to eat you as kids?
No, I mean he wanted to like.
My
mom. The Norton household got dark.
He wanted to like make them follow rules or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, my end point is Ego's father, Yondu's daddy.
Dad.
What about you, Steve? Who do you think is the better daddy?
I don't know why suddenly that word sounds so bizarre now that you say it, but that's what he calls it.
I know.
Daddy.
I struggle with this question. I understand, like, from the context of the film, it's obvious. Like, there's no question. It's Yondu. But I have a hard time with this because when you look at the first movie, Yondu's awful. Like, he's terrible. But Yondu, the whole film in this one, takes on more of a role of a parent in many ways. With Ego, he very much just likes, I think he actually says, I planted my seed all over the universe. Oh. So he's just, oh, I think that's, well, and he actually does literally plant a seed, but he also planted a seed all over the universe. And he talks about trying to have... You know, trying to find the right one to take up his legacy and all that. So he's a sperm donor at this point. And he's really just a sperm donor. But Yondu is the one that's invested in him. But my struggle is that Yondu invested in him so negatively in the first movie. But I mean, I guess at the end of this one, Yondu is the one that actually says, "I've done things wrong my whole life. Let me have this." And in that moment, sort of reframes his whole life. And they go to great lengths to say, you know, every time we had a problem, or every time that Quill betrays us, you keep going back to him. They say that a couple of times, and that's what leads to the mutiny. So, I mean, Yondu very much takes on more of a parent role in this one. In fact, I think it's interesting, like, what was the last movie we did? I can't remember now. Oh, Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Doctor Strange has sort of this mentor-mentee, almost parenting relationship with him. This one's all about parents, and the next one has the Spider-Man, Iron Man sort of relationship. So these sort of cycle, I think it's sort of about parenting relationships. But Yondu, I think, by the end of this one, learns what it means to be a parent. But I would argue that he did not know before. I struggle with him being the... called, like he says, he's your father boy, but he ain't your daddy. Well, Yondu, I don't know whether he was much of one throughout all this either. I don't know. I struggle with that.
At least he didn't put a tumor on his mom's head.
Oh my god, literally, I freaked out in the theater, and I freaked out there, and I'm just like, what the son of a... I couldn't swear.
So...
But he did swear.
Yes or no, is Yondu worth the title of daddy?
Yes. Steve?
Sorry.
Yes or no?
Yes or no. Is Yondu daddy?
Yon daddy?
Oh. Okay.
In the end, yes. But, I struggle with getting to that point because I don't think he was leading up to it. But.
Okay. Mackenzie, is Yondu
yes.
daddy? Okay. Jacob, is Yondu daddy?
No.
Megan, is Yondu daddy?
Yes, he's very flawed, but yes, he is daddy.
Okay. That was actually good. I never thought of it that way. Yeah, he was flawed, but he's still daddy. Yeah,
he's flawed, but both of them are flawed. The only difference is Ego is, like, psychotic.
Yes.
That's quite a difference.
Yondu's done crimes and stole things and killed people, but Ego's done that, and he also... planted a cancerous tumor in his wife's brain.
That is true.
Like, and the whole purpose of making Peter was not to have a son to care about him, but to take his future power and, like, put it in the ground, like he's planting a flower and, like, controlling the universe or destroying it or whatever.
Why do people run toward those giant blobs? Why does that happen?
Right?
I don't know.
They're standing there with their cell phones taking pictures of it.
I mean, when the Avengers destroyed the city, you don't see them freaking running toward the crashing buildings and crap. They ran for their lives. Sorry, I just kicked passion.
So definitely, you know, Yondu is very flawed. But I do think Yondu is more of a daddy.
Why do you think that?
You know, because I think there's a big difference between a father and a dad. I think for a father is literally just making the baby.
Okay.
But to be a dad or to be a daddy, you actually have to be with the child. And you need to take the time to, like, you know, know them and love them. Whether, you know, even if you're very flawed like Yondu is, you could tell in the end that he truly did love Peter for who he was. You know, he literally gave his life for him.
Yeah.
He sacrificed his own life for him, which is, you know, a big thing to do. Like, it's, you know, it's literally it's sacrificing your own life. So I definitely think that Yondu was daddy. And continuing on family, we kind of see more of the sister relationship between Gamora and Nebula. We find out kind of a bit more about how they were both treated.
Mm-hmm.
We find out that that Thanos kind of forced Gamora and Nebula to fight to see who was better. Gamora always won, which meant that Thanos took a part of Nebula's body and kind of switched it with a robot part.
Yeah, including her brain.
Yeah, literally, as she says, her eye. He took my eye from my head, my brain from my skull, and my arm from my body. So he was literally taking, you know, her and switching her for something that he felt was better. Yet she still wasn't really able to beat her. So at the beginning, Nebula really has this hatred for her sister because she wanted to, you know, be victorious. So she sets out to actually kill her sister. And after they kind of both save each other's lives, a line Nebula says is, "You were the one who wanted to win, and I just wanted a sister." And I really think that that's, like, a pretty, like, you know, it's, you kind of really hear the, like, the sadness, the pain in her voice. What do you guys think about that? Do you guys really think that, you know, Gamora?
I feel really bad for Nebula. Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for, like, both of them, because they're both were being pitted against each other, but I feel worse for Nebula because she was, like, having parts of her body taken and swapped out because she wasn't winning against somebody. But that shows how savage Thanos is. But yeah, I think the whole sister relationship is very interesting throughout the movie. I think, it was kind of the scene where they're fighting and she's in the plane, she's like shooting her down. That scene was kind of funny in a way.
She keep missing all the time.
But yeah.
She can't really aim.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that the whole sister relationship at the end is, I like how it wasn't like fully solved.
Yeah.
Because I don't think what happened between them can ever be fully solved, because it's a very difficult situation. Like, it's not like, oh, you beat me in one fight, like, and that stuff happened. Like, her body was, like, ripped apart by her father.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be salvaged between, like, a simple talk and a hug kind of thing. So I kind of like how it wasn't fully, but I liked that
they're kind of getting towards
it. Yeah, I like that they're on better terms than I want to kill you and I want to kill you too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that always helps.
I felt like the sister relationship was like Thor and Loki in some ways, because they're fighting to become king or something, and what Loki wants to prove to his dad that he's worthy, and Nebula wanted to do the same. But it really got to me how the dad could like want her to be like green alien again.
Gamora.
I gotta like write that down or something. Here, I keep forgetting.
Green lady.
The jolly green lady.
And that every time she failed, she had to be taken a part of her away and replaced with the robotic body parts. So like who could do that to their child? Which that really got to me. I felt bad.
I like the way you said that. That's something. One thing I hadn't thought of is that she lost a piece of herself every time. Mm-hmm. Now I know you're looking at me like, well,
sure.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah.
But
well,
no, but
yeah,
you look
technically,
at,
yeah.
I mean, this is an abusive relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has lost a part of herself every time at the hands of her father. who has tried to pit his own children against themselves to try and, you know, make them whatever, make them animals or whatever he's trying to do to them.
Oh, and Gamora just sat there and let it happen.
I think she understood it was going to happen. No, I don't think Gamora knew. I just think Gamora knew it was going to happen to her.
Well, like, when you know your sister is, like, not humanly herself, and she doesn't have hair, one, and she's, like, got, like, robotic parts, you kind of start to notice, and you don't think to ask questions about that? I don't think she was, like, oblivious to it, but in some way, she might have been, her ego might have gotten in the way of that, or she did want to win. But I think she did love her sister in some weird way.
Well, I think she did because she said, you know, you wanted to win and I wanted a sister.
That was Nebula that said that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, she said, I think... Oh, did you say Gamora loves her sister in some way?
Yeah.
I think Gamora's never had the issue with it in some way.
Yeah,
And Nebula's, like, jealous of what Gamora has.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. 100%.
Like, Gamora definitely always viewed Nebula as her sister. I believe Nebula is the younger sister. So, it's probably, like, you know...
Oh, wow.
When you kind of look at, like, a younger sibling, you're always like, oh, you know, I'm better. I'm the older one. So I don't think she really, like, you know, understood the kind of pain that Nebula was going through until, you know, this movie. Mm-hmm. Because, again, like, you know, after just that kind of vital, that quote, that line, things really change. Because I think Gamora starts to understand that, you know, her younger sister was literally being taken apart and replaced with something, quote-unquote, better. But I do think that it's good that they're starting to kind of get towards having a better relationship. I do hope that, you know, they have a better relationship in Infinity War, or at least for the next Guardians movie, because I'm pretty sure that's been confirmed, right?
Yeah, there's a third Guardians for sure. Yeah. Well, I don't know who's in it, but we know that there is a third
Only
one.
Nebula.
Well, what? Infinity War is coming out on the 27th, so...
They just haven't announced dates for anything after the fourth Avengers movie, which is next May. One thing that's really important in this movie is knowing people's stories.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, like, and how that changes the way you understand them. Like, Yondu, the more we understand about Rocket's story, the more we understand about Yondu's story, the more we start to see them differently. Mm-hmm. The more we learn about Nebula's story, it affects the way that Gamora views her.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
What's Rocket's story?
Rocket, well, they gave a little bit more, I guess they didn't give much of Rocket's story in this one, I guess, but they get into his emotions,
yeah.
And then we get Yondu's story in that moment, because Yondu talks about how he was sold as a slave or something like that.
By his parents.
Yeah, I think this movie sort of showed the importance of understanding somebody's story before you...
Like, start judging them?
Yeah, before you judge them. Yeah. That's one thing.
Because Rocket definitely gives off, like, am I allowed to say asshole?
Well, yes. Well, you did, so that...
Definitely gives off an a-hole vibe, but, like,
I think
you realize his story, like, he was... Like, Rocket was generated, and he wasn't... Like, that isn't, like, his normal form, or that isn't, like, his, like, born form.
Well, he's made in a lab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
so,
even
anything made in a lab obviously doesn't have the best life. So, like...
I think even, what's that blue guy's name?
Yondu.
Yondu, right. Oh. He says, like, are you, like, a professional asshole or what? And I'm just like, same. But, like, no.
What?
But once you understand his story, you start to feel for him more. And there is a sort of reason for him being an ass.
Yeah, so we, you know, we see a lot of kind of comparing some characters and, you know, seeing the relationship between a lot of characters in this, especially in this one. And going back to the family thing, I would like you guys to kind of explain what you think the definition of family is.
Oh, I got this. There's a difference between, like, your, like, kind of blood family and someone that you consider family. Because, like, for a family, you don't have to like them. They're just blood related. Like for a blood family, like most, like some kids or just families in general don't have a close relationship in their blood. So to the people, they're not really family. But like what a family is just someone that, some place or somewhere that you feel safe around the people that you're with. Or like someone that you can tell someone, like that you can tell things that are deep about your life. And you feel that you can trust them a lot, and that you feel safe when you're around them, and you guys like love each other, like when you guys, like even though you guys are not blood related, it's still like that kind of close thing.
So based off of like what Jacob just said, would you consider the Guardians a big family?
Yeah, I think very dysfunctional, but yes. I think they are. Well, Drax says it.
Yeah, he says, we're family. We don't leave anybody behind.
Yeah, I think definitely they are. I mean, Gamora and Peter love each other. But I think... I think they are family because they have been through a lot together, and they do... I mean, they do love one another. I mean, they yell and get in fights with one another a lot, but they do love each other and they are willing. I think the end scene really shows that. Because Rocket, we always see him as like this tough guy. He's asking like, where's Peter? Like, is he okay? And then Drax asks, and then Gamora goes out. Like, they all really, really do genuinely care about one another. And then when Yondu dies, you see everyone's there. So they do love and care about one another. Maybe not in the, like... not in a normal way, because all of them are a bit out there, but, I mean, they love each other, and that's all that counts.
The Guardians are, like, they're, like, family because they stick up for each other, they laugh together, they share feelings with each other, and, yeah, that's all I got.
I think they're family because, like, they were, like, really close together, like they show very, like, they're very loyal towards each other, and like they succeed as a team, but then they also fall as a team, and that's kind of what family does, because like family is someone that's not gonna like give up on you. Say like Drax, how like a couple things that he did maybe like the first movies or so on was like not appropriate, or like it got them in a lot more trouble. They didn't leave him, they stuck with him. And that's what family does. But also, they genuinely care about each other a lot, like people in here said. And like that's what family does, is they care for you, and they love each other.
I think this movie really puts the emphasis on relationship over blood. And it seems like everybody who's blood-related is terrible. And that's sort of a shame, but it's just where they set this up, because... I think, if I'm right, Gamora is not Thanos' blood daughter. I think she's adopted. I could be wrong, because I think Nebula is the daughter of Thanos, the pure-blooded daughter of Thanos. Am I wrong?
Well, Nebula's blue, and...
I thought about the color of them, but I think that racist. One of them...
Wow. Yeah. Well, no,
That's racist. That's spacist.
No, but I mean,
shame on you.
I like that she's getting all upset, but it's not a real thing.
We're just kidding.
No,
I'm being, like, attacked. No, I'm just joking. I think,
oh, shoot, I died of starvation.
I actually thought in the first Guardians that Nebula and... what was that other guy's name again?
Yondu were
related.
Just because they're blue?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry.
But
I need to watch the first Guardians again. I haven't seen it in like over 3 years.
But Ego is clearly the father of Star-Lord.
They are so much alike.
And it's interesting. There is that reversal, because Gamora is like, you got to give this a try because he's your father. And then she's the one that says you got to pull away because basically he's not your father. But what we see, I think, is exactly what you guys have said. A family in a film like this is people that are in a committed relationship to one another, regardless of whether or not there's blood between them. And I think, you know, what you've got is these people that have no real ties to anybody else, and they sort of find each other In some ways, this movie reminds me of, like, the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Fast and the Furious movies, that, like, if they're not crashing cars, they're saying the word family. And it's just over, we're family. And I felt like this movie kind of was bordering on that territory myself. Gamora is the adopted daughter of Thanos.
How did you find that so fast?
I looked up Gamora, daughter related to Thanos.
Oh, I wrote, like, Thanos' blood children.
They're both adopted. I'm sorry.
Oh, they both are?
Nebula is an adopted daughter of the warlord, Thanos. So neither of them are his blood children.
Good to know.
So why did you favor Gamora?
Well, I don't know. She was green.
Maybe we'll find that out more in Infinity War.
Could be.
So straying a bit away from the kind of family aspect of the movie, they kind of hint a lot about, you know, about God. How do you guys think God is, like, represented or, like, shown?
These are usually the questions you answer.
I know.
It's Jacob, fun when you ask them. Jacob, is
where you come in?
No, ma'am, it's not. No. This is usually where I come in.
Okay, whatever.
Or, like, maybe to kind of rephrase it, like, how do you think this movie, like, defines God?
Well, Eagle thinks he's, like, a god. Mm-hmm. And I think he mentions, like, says something along the lines of, you're a god to Star-Lord.
Star-Lord says you're a god, and he goes, small g, Peter.
Yeah, you're a god, small g, son.
What does that even mean?
Small g?
I think he's trying to say, like, he's not the god. He is a god.
And Ego is god.
As it is...
Ego is saying he's a god, not the god.
Oh.
So...
Well, he certainly acts like God. Like God, he created everything. He tried to.
You're trying to say, like, you know, the movie defines God as, like, somebody who just kind of has created everything?
Yes. But God just does this to create a better world and a better purpose. And Ego is, like, doing this to destroy the universe.
Now, would you consider Ego a god?
No.
Well, he has power, but he's not, like, a true god, because he doesn't respect...
He doesn't do good things.
He literally put a tumor in someone's head so they can die. God does not do that.
He's doing things for himself, and that's not what God does. Steve's turn.
Oh, Steve, would you like to add anything?
No. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
You know, in some ways, when you start talking about... Ego in this one, he actually is in a very interesting view of God, because he says he's creating out of love, and it's out of that love that Peter was created, and he puts this emphasis on how he loved Peter's mom and how he wants to create things well and have that spread throughout the universe. I think that, you know, that's a pretty good picture of God. But where things get dark is where he talks about it becomes almost ruling the universe in this darkened way, and he...
Like, why did he put the tumor in?
Well, he says he put the tumor in her mind so that he wouldn't be tempted to go back there. Like, it's if I'm right. Because he said if I went back a fourth time, I'd stay. Yeah. So it was really hard to put the tumor in her. And that's where the analogy loses it for me, is because... He's a very human god. He's more human than he likes to admit, even with the small g, you know, putting the small g on there. He's a god who wants to create things in his own image so that they can, which again sounds scriptural. He wants to pass on his image, but it's such a destructive thing that he wants to do. It's about destroying everything and making things himself, which is not God as I know him. God doesn't want to destroy everything. He wants to build his kingdom, sure, but it's not about, you know, dominance and in that, I don't see it as about the same level of dominance that we see in this one, because in this one he just wants to
rule the world and rule everything.
Rule everything, but not in a way that's empowering and blessing. It's about destruction. Yeah. And that to me is where it just doesn't seem... That's not the God I know. And so it's an interesting image that they bring that up. I you know, because they could have said any, they could have chosen any term, but they, and he, you know, he wants to pass it on to his offspring, you know, it's, and it's all this stuff. I, man, it's so dark. So that, I mean, I think it's a fascinating conversation to put up, but it ends up being so bleak. And if that's what God is like, then I got a real problem with my job. Because
is this your resignation?
It's my resignation right now. If God's like that, it is. I'm out, man. Because that's not love. That's about control. And I just don't think that God is one who wants to control us. I think he wants to join with us. And he wants us to follow him, yes, but in a way that there's freedom and grace.
So maybe more like guide us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But lead us to him, sure. Mm-hmm. But not to blow up everything, and I struggle with that image.
Eagle and Thanos are very much alike.
What do you mean?
Like, they both want to, like, control everything, and they both don't care what gets in their way kind of thing. Because we see with Nebula what Thanos did to her, and then we see that Ego put a tumor in his wife's brain, and then all those bodies, he killed them, right?
Yeah.
So,
eat them.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ego actually kills those people. I think the power kills those people, because he says, I never hurt any of them. Mm-hmm. But does he...
I feel like he's a pathological liar.
It's true.
Doesn't he say the pain doesn't hurt me anyway, or something like that?
He told Peter that he told Yondu when he was bringing all of the children that he wouldn't hurt them, and then he goes, "Technically, I didn't, because you know their deaths would have been very quick; they wouldn't have felt anything."
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
He's a psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's also a planet.
Yes.
So
I was wondering how they're going to do that. Ego the Living Planet's a hard character to come up to put on screen, man.
He's a psychopathic planet.
I think they did it in a good way, though.
I like what they did with
the show. Yeah.
The visuals were insane in this movie. Like,
yeah, this movie was definitely really nice to just kind of look at.
Mm-hmm.
They did, you know, a lot better with, like, you know, CGI stuff, especially showing Ego when he was, like, younger, like, on Earth. As we've seen before, like, when they did Captain America the First Avenger, before Steve got his, like, superhuman serum, he...
Me?
He was awkward. Yikes.
He was very...
He was kind of awkward to look at. It was weird.
Because his head was a lot bigger than his body.
Yeah. And then in, Civil War, Tony, it was better, but it's still weird. But I feel like this movie did it really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the young Kurt Russell on this one looks really good.
Him.
He's bae. Can I say that?
Sure.
I don't see him as bae.
No, he's not. I just wanted to say the word. I'm hip and cool. Okay. I know, but nobody says bae no more, I know.
No more?
Yesterbae. He's so yesterbae.
Well, we know he's not daddy, so.
All right.
So, what do you guys think about the kind of image of heart? This movie also talks a lot about heart.
Oh, I never noticed
that. Like, yeah, I was just kind of thinking about it, looking at some quotes here. There's, you know, a lot to do with kind of different kind of views on heart. So, what do you guys think is the kind of biggest showing of heart in this movie?
When Yondu died for Star-Lord.
So, like, love?
Yeah.
The kind of love aspect of heart?
Yeah. That's my take on heart. When I hear heart, I think of love. And he, like you said earlier, he sacrificed his life for Star-Lord. So I think that showed great heart. And it was hard. Like, I'm pretty sure he didn't want to, like, kill himself. But he did it for a reason that he felt was good, and he...
Justified?
Yeah, he felt justified.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, just for...
Just, nope, I'm just gonna kill myself now. Like, it was a very justified thing. So, that's what my take on it.
When Nebula saves her Gamora from
Cisco
from dying. I think she's about to fall off a cliff or something, and then she like takes her arm and like pulls her, like actually she throws her, snatches her,
yeah.
Yeah, even though it's like she quote unquote hates her. This is like towards the end of the movie, so like her thing, and then she says like, "Yo, just get over it."
Don't like, make a big deal.
That was
though.
Funny.
Yeah,
I think Yondu sacrifices is the most emotional thing, and I think the deepest showing. But I do love the Ravager funeral at the end,
mm-hmm.
and that's not it's not on the same level. But you talk about because really you talk about showing of heart. You talk about the saving. But I think in doing what he does, you know, I think it's Rocket that sends word out to the Ravagers. I think it shows that those things matter to others because they're all, you know, whereas they've kicked him out of the Ravagers at the beginning of the film, by the end, or by that end sacrifice, they've given him the proper send-off. And it's... That it was weird. I got emotional at that when I was watching it again. I'm like, to see Kraglin going, yeah! And just, it was a beautiful moment. It's such a beautiful... But I think that showing of heart
beautiful.
And that aspect of love and sacrifice, it shows that it matters to other people that aren't affected, I think. It shows
mm-hmm.
real change.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Daniel?
Well, I definitely think that heart was shown, you know, in a lot of... many different ways. Definitely the kind of showing of like love, the love that we see between Yondu and Peter, and even like, you know, the kind of the unforeseen, unspoken of love between Peter and Gamora. Although she denies it, you can really tell that, you know, she has that, she does love Peter.
Mm-hmm.
But I do also see, you know, a heart and courage in this movie. One of the kind of big parts of one of the main ways I see heart as courage in this movie is when Yondu is sacrificing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, you know, we think of it as like, you know, oh, that's like, you know, his son, like he's sacrificing his life because he loves him. But he's being so courageous in doing that. Like he's literally like giving away his life to Peter.
Mm.
Like he's, you know, and it's not like how we've learned that, you know, ego have all of these like people's deaths as quick. Like he was, you know, obviously in pain, and yet he stuck through it. He didn't show a lot of that pain to Peter, but you know, as we've seen earlier in the film and in, I believe in the last one, in the last Guardians movie too, that being out in like that kind of space without any protection is like very painful. So he has a lot of like just kind of heart as in courage. And I think just, you know, this movie showing courage and like strength. One of the things that Yondu says when he's you know, yelling for Peter about using his kind of celestial power, he says, "I don't use my head to fly this arrow, boy. I use my heart."
Oh yeah.
That's
what it said. I thought it said his arm.
Just like, I don't use my head, I use my arm.
Yeah.
But I really think like, you know, it's kind of using, you know, it's building up a lot of like, you know, courage to do this because, you know, I would think that you have to have a lot of courage to be able to send an arrow through 800 people, like. It's,
in that one scene.
Yeah, literally. Like, it's not like it's something that you can just kind of be like, oh, do this. Like, you have to kind of build up that kind of, that courage, that feeling of doing that, to be able to do it. And we definitely see after, when Yondu says that to Peter, it's, you know, his powers become, you know, great. He's able to fight Ego to distract him, to get that bomb, that Groot planted in his
brain-ish
nucleus. We're able to see that, and we're able to just kind of watch as, you know, Peter's, you know, making rocks in his hand, you know, changing into Pac-Man, which is great. He's able to really use a giant amount of his power because he uses a lot of his heart to do it, not just his brain.
Yeah, I forgot about that part of the film, actually. I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot that they said that.
Would anybody like to talk about anything else?
How about the fact that he's Mary Poppins, y'all? Oh, it's the best line of the whole movie. Are you kidding me? You look like Mary Poppins. Is he cool? Yeah, he's cool.
I'm freaking Mary Poppins, y'all.
I love that. Even if it is Disney just doing their brand extension, it's still, it's a great line.
One of my favorite scenes is when he's like, oh God, I'm actually picturing what you look, what I was like physically. I'm just like, dude.
Oh my gosh, Mantis.
Why is everybody dissing Mantis in this movie?
We didn't even talk about Mantis.
I ship Drax and Mantis. Can I say that? Am I too old to say that?
Do you mean Max?
I was like, it's so beautiful. And so are you.
Drantis,
like
it's better than Drantis.
On the inside.
I can relate to Mantis. Because I'm, like, innocent and, like, I don't get a lot of jokes that people make. And, like,
same.
Half the things that people were saying.
Same.
Like, to her, she was like, oh, yeah, literally. Yeah, it was funny because she, yeah.
We're like, oh my god, I am literally Mantis.
And she's very, I liked her character. I thought she was... I felt kind of bad for her throughout the entire movie because she's pretty much being used by Ego and it kind of is horrible. But I also like the relationship with her and Drax. It's kind of cute. I mean, he still thinks she's ugly, but...
I mean, throughout the film,
beautiful.
He grows to, like,
she's beautiful
tolerate her ugliness.
She's beautiful on the inside. And I was like, okay, all right. Beautiful on the inside.
But see, that's Ego, too, which I love that name. Just calling him Ego is so great. But you said that Ego's using her. Ego uses everybody that serves Ego's needs.
I don't know how.
That's why he's not God to me, because God doesn't use... We say God uses people. We don't mean it in the same way. We mean actually he's using them to do good things. He's not just sucking them dry like he does...
I don't know how Mantos didn't kill...
Guardian Leviosa me sideways.
I don't know how Ego didn't kill Mantis when she found out that he was doing this. I don't know how long she had known about this.
Probably a while.
Because she knew about the body. She knew.
She knew a lot. Maybe too much.
But still did nothing.
Oh. She was terrified Ego was going to, like, kill her.
After watching this movie, would you guys suggest it for others to watch? Steve?
Yeah, well, I've already said this is one of my favorite ones in the upper echelon of my MCU movies. Yes, I said it again. I like this one a lot.
Mackenzie?
If you watch the first one, you will love this one. If you don't, then you will not understand what is going on.
What's happening right now?
I think
you're the best.
Yeah, I think so. I think I would recommend it. I mean, I would suggest maybe watching the first one to get to know the characters a bit before you watch this one. But yeah, I think this one's funny. I think it's good. I think the message is really good. Overall message is very good.
It's like watching the Avengers.
It's not my favorite.
Watching Thor, Iron Man, the other movies, Captain America.
Same. Yeah, I mean, I personally would definitely suggest for this movie to be watched. It is, you know, it shows... It's a movie that really kind of gets you thinking about different things, which I do, you know, normally like that about movies, when it's not just kind of like you leave the theater and you're like, whatever. You know, you actually have stuff to think about and to talk about with others, like what we're doing now.
Like, when I watched this movie, I kept going back on YouTube and watching clips and stuff and the Honest Trailer and all that.
But, yeah, so that'll do it for this week. Next week, we will be talking about...
Oh, they released a new trailer for Infinity Wars. No, I'm just
kidding. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, we are starting...
9 hours
ago. Is this the first day?
This is Monday of Infinity Week, if you will.
So this is Infinity Week. So this is the first day of every day leading up to Infinity War. So instead of next week being our next episode will be tomorrow. And it will be Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes! also, I love the movie. That's been my favorite Spider-Man. Yes. Okay, sorry, go on.
So, I had a lot of fun with this, guys, and I'll definitely be back, just like the Guardians. Steve, would you like to take us out? Megan, would you like to take us out?
I'm good. I'll let Steve take it.
Then, till the next time, to Infinity War.